Wusstest du, dass beim Schenken dieselben Glückshormone ausgeschüttet werden wie beim Geschenk bekommen? Mach dich jetzt doppelt glücklich. Mit jeder IKEA-Geschenkkarte gibt's nämlich 10% des Werts als Aktionskarte obendrauf. Aber nur bis zum 23. Dezember in deinem IKEA-Einrichtungshaus.
You're listening to the Sports Kings on SB Nation Radio, brought to you by Kings Court in Houston.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Here's Mean Gene the Sports Machine and David Ramon.
Woo! Man, just got off the phone with our boss, and the fact that we made it through that first hour, we still have a job, man.
Hey.
We have
good
a job.
Us.
We have a job thanks to Tubbs over here.
Good job. Good effort.
And
good job. Good
goodness,
effort.
Because in radio, it's by the hour, folks. Or should I say it's by the segment. Anyway, folks, it's the Sports Kings here on SB Nation Radio. Mean Gene, David, Ramon, we are talking all professional sports tonight, NFL. And in this next hour coming up, we will certainly talk about all five NBA games that's going to be taking place on the hardwood tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something to look at, too. It's kind of funny how they, you know, we kind of look for those storylines every night. And the fact that, you know, Cavaliers playing the Lakers have a lot of talks, that's kind of interesting to me. It's because that's something you really wouldn't expect or really see on any other type of day other than this, especially when you have the last name Ball to that.
Yeah, and that's something we're definitely going to get into later on, and how the Lakers and LeVar Ball had a meeting the other day and talked about him toning it down a little bit. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. We're also continuing to cover what's happening in Indianapolis with the Broncos and the Colts there. And we'll wait for George Montgomery to give us an update there. I heard there's some exciting things going on, or maybe not so exciting. Looks like we have a big injury out there on the field. But also, we'll talk about the Saturday games that's going to be happening in the NFL. And, of course, some major matchups that's going to be taking place this Sunday. And some great games. Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders will take place on that Sunday night game, David. A lot of Cowboy fans still think there's a chance that they could make the playoffs.
Are they?
I'm just
really?
Maybe not a lot.
It's because they're
maybe
in
not
the hunt.
A lot of, maybe some of them.
They're in the hunt section of the NFC.
In the hunt, man. I know some teams. Like the Cleveland Browns been in the hunt for about 16 years.
About
I mean,
a while.
So sometimes in the hunt is what it is in the hunt. And, of course, we'll sort of break down also what's going to be happening, you know, with that big Steelers and Patriots game. So stick around, folks. A lot more of the Sports Kings to be heard right here on SB Nation Radio.
The Sports Kings with Mean Gene and David Ramon continues now on SB Nation Radio.
All right, folks. Sports Kings, Mean Gene, David Ramon. We are back once again talking everything NFL, NBA, and how about NFL? We are more than happy to have George Montgomery joining us once again from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. George, what's happening?
Okay, guys, Indianapolis actually leads this game 7-0 with 14:01 before intermission. We got two key injuries so far tonight, and they are taking Brandon Williams off the field on a stretcher. He is a tight end for the Indianapolis Colts, a fifth-year player out of Oregon. He got hurt on the previous punt play, so they are taking him off on a stretcher, which is not always good. And Trevor Siemian, the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, is also out. He hurt his shoulder when he got sacked, and Brock Osweiler will now quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Once again, the Colts, they got their touchdown in the first quarter with 8:05 to play. Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback for Indianapolis, scampered 7 yards into the end zone as the Colts went 7 plays, 50 yards in 3 minutes and 32 seconds. Both teams come in playing for draft picks, you might say. The Colts are 3-9. And they are really just playing it out, but they're doing a nice job so far. Once again, 14:01 to play here in the second quarter. It is Indianapolis 7, Denver nothing.
Hey, George, we appreciate it, man. Oh, I tell you, it is never good. We were just talking about injuries here earlier, And ironically, we were also just talking about Brock Osweiler. Oh, my Lord, what have we done? What have we done tonight?
You brought
tonight?
That upon him, Gene.
What have we done tonight? I mean, this is crazy. This is part of it. And we saw the delay. We knew something was happening. So we just heard from George Montgomery, who just confirmed what happened. But right before George came on, we actually saw what happened. And I didn't mean to see that. I didn't want to see that.
You remember how I told you in the beginning of the show, there's not really too much evidence or enough, like, hard numbers to really prove that these Thursday games are really dangerous for the players. And as you can see in the first half, that kind of really shut me down already.
But that was just a tackle. I mean, you know, we saw it. It was just, you see those type
bang,
of plays.
Bang play. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and, you know, maybe his leg gave out or something, but oh my God, it was pretty gruesome. Something you probably don't want to see. And we totally missed the Trevor Siemian injury and
more problems for the Broncos, as you'll say.
More problems for the Broncos. I mean, but still a winnable game. I mean, it's 7-0. That's nothing. They have a whole second quarter. I mean, who knows? The Colts have probably cooled off a little bit because there was a heck of a game delay there for a minute. So, nevertheless, we'll find out. We'll get some more updates from Indianapolis between the Colts and the Broncos. Let's move right along, David, to the Saturday games that are going to be coming up. Looking at week, what is this, 15 of the National Football League, and quite a bit of games that's going to be happening this weekend. And we'll start with this first game, the Chicago Bears 4-9 at the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are one of those in-the-hunt teams, still mathematically have a chance to get it done there. So they're going to kick off at Ford Field. Nice to have a game of this magnitude at home against Mitch Trubisky and Jay Howe and the Bears.
Yeah, so the Lions are definitely rooting for the Seahawks and the Packers to perform poorly this week. So the Lions do have a chance. That's the funny part. I mean, because you're talking about all these teams who are in the hunt, and technically, mathematically speaking, there's like a good five NFC teams that, you know, still have that, you know, implications still left on them. So I think the Lions, as of right now, I mean, they're going to be, you know, wishing that a lot of stuff is happening for them this week. Because, I mean, that 7-6 record doesn't sound so bad. But, I mean, we've been watching Matthew Stafford for so long now. And honestly, coming out of Georgia, I never thought that he was going to become this kind of quarterback that he's just going to be slinging the ball a lot. I mean, usually when you come from an SEC school, you just hand the ball off.
Right.
Get out the way.
You're absolutely right.
You know, every now and then the play action. But for him to come out to this magnitude and now to see him like this, because, I mean, he got weapons too, but the thing about the Detroit Lions, they have little places where they have their troubles, like on defense. They have to put that offense in those tight spots. So you don't want the Bears to stick around for too long because they can ultimately win that game.
And the Bears is one of those teams that has actually gotten better since Mitch Trubisky has taken over as quarterback. And Jay Howard there, who is a great running back. They even have another running back on that team with Zacoin. So, I mean, so they actually have a pretty good 1-2 punch back there. But, you know, behind that quarterback. But interesting enough, though, and I just, you know, the Minnesota Vikings has such a lead in that division to where I don't know. I mean, and I understand, you know, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, possibly going to start perhaps, you know, this weekend. And you know, I don't know what that's going to do. I don't see but one team actually making the playoff from the NFC North, especially when you got teams – like in the NFC West and the NFC South, you know, with better records there. But nevertheless, this is why, and I don't know if we said earlier in the show, I know we said when we were on the break, 23 teams are still in contention for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you say, well, 23, I thought only 12 made it. Yeah, I mean, right, there's going to be 12 locked in, and you can probably look at 8 right now that are for sure, you know, locked in. I'm sorry, not 8. I mean, when we look at the 4 division winners from every, you know, they're locked in. That's what I meant to say. But anyway, you got those wild cards, and everybody's playing for the wild card. So that's why you still got to watch football. You still got to watch the games.
And also on that, you know, speaking of Saturdays, of course, that Los Angeles Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs game is really important, both with the identical records. And it's going to be interesting to see them because Kansas City sits in the spot where I guess they shouldn't feel too comfortable, but it seems like a lot of people are starting to fade away from Alex Smith a little bit, right? Like, he's not the guy that they really want him to become. And then Kareem Hunt, other than last week, he finally had a 100-yard game, but, I mean, he started the season just hot.
You know, it's funny because I, as I'm looking at this information that I have wrote down here, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, what, started out, what, 5-0? And now the new headline is that, wow, the Chiefs improved to 7-6 with a win over the Oakland Raiders last week. So, I mean, what happened with KC? It's an ugly division. It's one of those divisions that seems to records that it makes its way around the league every once in a while.
Yeah.
Where you have like a team with a, you know, more losses than wins will probably make the playoffs. It happened in the NFC South a few years ago.
And I mean, preseason, we're looking at the Raiders and thinking that they're going to be a juggernaut this year. And that totally didn't happen the way it was supposed to. But yeah, the Los Angeles Chargers made it possible for them to stick around. And that's one thing that you don't want. You don't want a Phillip Rivers that can just stick around in the game.
Absolutely. And this is a scary game for the Chiefs, okay? Because right now, I can tell you right now that the Chargers have won four, the last four. Phillip Rivers, when he gets hot, man, when things get going, he's got his Hunter Henry going.
Yeah.
He's got Melvin Gordon going. I mean, the Chargers are looking good, and they are playing in front of the smallest NFL crowd in the league. I mean, they're playing in Los Angeles. No one's talking about the L.A. Chargers. They're talking about the Rams. Most people still think they're in San Diego.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but they are – this is a scary game. I don't think the Chiefs win.
Oh, I don't think so either. Because honestly, like we said, the Phillip Rivers, just the way he has that effect on some teams, on some games, I would say, where he imposes wills. Yeah, he can throw maybe three or four picks in one game. But also, I mean, he can come out with over 300 yards and still get that dub.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw it. I tell you, one team that definitely believes in the L.A. Chargers, the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, everybody saw what the Chargers did on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, and it was one of those games. I'm sitting there watching it with my brother. I'm like, man, this is one of those games. Phillip Rivers is feeling it. They will not lose. And when he has those type of games, you're not gonna win. You're not gonna beat the I'm trying not to say San Diego Chargers.
It's really hard, right? Like
right.
It takes something for a while to get used to.
It's hard because I lived in San Diego for 15 years, and I know about the San Diego Chargers. And so we have to say the L.A. Chargers, you know, for the sake of being correct. But anyway, another game we'll probably get into after the break, and that's that Green Bay Packers at the Carolina Panthers. We're going to get into that because I want to talk about this Aaron Rodgers situation, and I want to talk about the Carolina Panthers, who one of the only teams that went into New England and beat the Patriots this year. So we'll break that down. So, folks, anyway, stick around. When we come back, we're going to get more into some NFL Saturday, NFL Sunday. You listen to the Sports Kings right here on SB Nation Radio.
The Sports Kings with Mean Gene and David Ramone continues now on SB Nation Radio.
Sports Kings, Mean Gene, David Ramone on SB Nation Radio. Brought to you by Kings Court. And you know what? We were just sort of talking before the last segment there of the big NFL games that will be taking place Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, one of those will be the possible return of Aaron Rodgers and trying to make a playoff run for the Green Bay Packers. They will take on a hot 9-4, I believe, Carolina Panthers.
Oh, yeah, these Packers team is in the hunt again, another one of those teams. But, I mean, whenever you think about the Carolina Panthers, you kind of hear all the stuff that Cam Newton's been going through all this season. And honestly, if you're just going through everything that, you know, that you're hearing, you probably would think that the Carolina Panthers aren't having the best season because, I mean, they get critiqued pretty hard, I'll say, especially when Cam Newton doesn't do very well because he takes a lot of those, you know, losses. And whenever he's taking that up, because whenever we're back on the other show, we had
Dustin Pfeiffer, who covers the Panthers. Dustin Pfeiffer will definitely be here on this show for the NFL playoffs. I see the Panthers. They're probably not going to win the division. They probably will be a wild card for sure out of the NFC. South. But you're right. I mean, Cam Newton, I mean, he was the last time we talked with Dustin Pfeiffer out there at in Carolina. It was the incident in the locker room with the female reporter and talking about routes, this, that, and the other. But now this was also, you know, he caught a lot of heat behind that, and I've had a chance to meet Cam Newton and know his playful side. But it's funny how he's been able to shake that and put this team where it is now.
Yeah.
And remember, no one's – and we're the only ones talking about how they actually went to New England and beat the Patriots, and that seemed like years ago.
Yeah.
It really didn't happen, but it did happen.
Well, yeah, whenever the Panthers get rolling, they really get rolling. I mean, Jonathan Stewart is still being very effective, and Christian McCaffrey, too. I mean, a rookie, I mean, he's out there doing his thing as well, too, catching a lot of balls in the backfield, too.
A good balance in the running game, and then, you know, Funches finally owns that wide receiver spot, seems like, and then the defense. I mean, Luke Kuechly, come on, anytime you got a linebacker like that that's out there, playing like a beast, you know, every game.
So would you say that the Packers would no longer be in the hunt after this weekend?
I would say that they would just shut it all down. I mean, if the Packers didn't have a realistic chance of making the playoffs, we probably wouldn't be seeing Aaron Rodgers. No matter, you know, Brett Huntley did not do the best job in yeoman's work while Rodgers was out. But nevertheless, I mean, when you look at in the hunt, you're in the hunt. So you keep hunting, right?
Yeah, and how about these two teams that are not in the hunt, and they're really trying to just figure out where they're going to stand at the end of the season, and that's going to be the Patriots and Steelers. And it's kind of a weird game to have at 4:25 in the afternoon.
They win in the race now. So, yeah, biggest game possibly. I'm surprised they didn't flex this game. And this game would be on Sunday on CBS.
Oh, same time whenever the Rams and Seahawks game is going on. So that's going
to be football watching this weekend. The Patriots, who lost Monday night to the Miami Dolphins, and they're going to go to the red-hot Pittsburgh and take on the Steelers. I mean, these two teams, this is it. I mean, if you ask anyone in football, the road to the Super Bowl goes through one of these teams. And either one, a Pittsburgh win, would probably secure the number one seed in the AFC, I'm sorry. And then a Patriots win could be the number one seed in the AFC. So here we are talking about a Super Bowl defending champ right in another position to defend and compete for it, another one.
And I also think that, you know, the Steelers playing last week, I never seen Ben Roethlisberger just throws so many passes, 66 passes. So 44 for 66. Whenever you think about those numbers, I mean, that's still really good when you think about, you know, mathematically wise. But honestly, I see that the Pittsburgh Steelers are probably benefit from this because honestly, when you look at the Patriots, you know, secondary, they could possibly do that again. So I wouldn't be surprised if Big Ben, he goes around, he flirts around with 35, 40 passes, and you still have a good, you know, 5-6 minutes left in the game, depending on what kind of game we see.
The game with the Baltimore Ravens, I just think they took that game as it came to them because, you know, Big Ben and Antonio Brown, that back shoulder throw, no one has mastered that like Big Ben. I mean, he's going to get that ball right over the shoulder of that receiver. I didn't even realize that he threw that much to the end of that game. But, you know, as the game opens up, things happen. I don't think they planned to throw the ball 66 times against the Baltimore Ravens, but things happened in that game. And I think the Steelers this year are able to make adjustments better than they've done before. I mean, they have relied on their kicker, who should be the league MVP for the last couple of games. I mean, games Steelers used to lose. And you see the adjustment. But this game, there's no game bigger than this one here. This coming up Sunday. So, and this other game that you probably want to watch Sunday night as the season wraps up there, the weekend wraps up, is the Dallas Cowboys at the Oakland Raiders. And I know, Tubbs, what you had something on those Cowboys.
Yeah, you guys were kind of talking about Philadelphia and, you know, Dallas and everything. But here's my question. We've got, to me, there are a couple intriguing things, and I want to see what you guys think about this. The Philadelphia Eagles right now with Carson Wentz injury, a lot of people thinking that Nick Foles isn't going to be able to perform up to the same level as Carson Wentz, which was amazing, and that they're in danger of possibly losing the number one seed to say, Minnesota. But my question now, as you were talking about all these teams that are in the hunt, the Cowboys technically in the hunt. Let's say the Cowboys continue to play well. Week 17. I believe it's Philly and Dallas, right? The last game.
For them, yeah.
Returning Zeke. Is that the difference maker for Dallas to get them into the playoff? Because all of a sudden now you've got one team that's getting their superstar back. Meanwhile, you've got Philadelphia that has lost, some people were saying, maybe the front runner for the MVP this year. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on how that game could potentially shape up.
Okay, let me answer this, because if you look at the NFC West, you're going to give the Rams the division. You still got a lot of teams with better records than Dallas. Even though they went out, look at other teams that could win out. Look at the Seattle Seahawks. They could win out. Look at the Lions, you know, what could happen there, or the Packers for that matter. And then you got to look at that three-headed monster in the NFC South. One division winner, which would probably be the Saints, and I don't even know if it's going to be the Saints because the Falcons and the Saints hook up again.
Yeah, I was going to say, they play again, and, right. and they just had it was a Drew Brees interception away from a Saints win on the road.
Right, right. So these teams are actually playing playoff football, and, I mean, their records indicate that, you know, they're going to get in. Those teams in the hunt, you got 7 wins against 6 losses, even if you win out. You still got to hope a whole lot of stuff happens in these other divisions. 2 teams could possibly be the wild cards from one division.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Where all these teams stand because of the strength of the NFC, is 10 wins going to be enough for a wild card? Do you have to win 11 games to be a wild card this year in the NFC?
Well, I mean, I know what you said about Philly. Philly's locked in, though.
Philly's locked in. At worst, they're the NFC East champ.
Right. And no, I think you definitely, I mean, the Vikings, I don't think, you said 10 wins. Maybe a wild card. There could be a 10-win wild card.
Okay.
There is. Yeah. I definitely think there is because, I mean, you look at these 4 teams, for example, you look at the Falcons, the Panthers, the Saints, and the Rams, you know, yeah, 2 of those guys are going to come out and maybe 2 in the wild card race, but all 4 of those guys have 9 wins. Or, I mean, except the Falcons, they have 8, but I still expect them to do well. And to me, 10 wins still isn't really going to cut it. Like, you might have to look at possibly, you know, trying really hard on that last week and able to solidify mm-hmm. your spot. Because honestly, I look at the Eagles, because you brought up a really good question earlier. I look at the Eagles, and honestly, whenever they do play the Cowboys and Zeke does come back, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of position they put Nick Foles in. Because we're going to look at this Philadelphia game this week and say, yeah, it's going to be a cakewalk against the Giants. But at the same time, we got to figure out what kind of situation he's going to be in, what do they expect him to do, and just what's he going to do in order to just get a win? I mean, because we really don't know that.
And the one thing we didn't say, that if the Raiders win Sunday, then it doesn't matter. Then it really won't matter what happens if Zeke comes back. So, but anyway, interesting stuff. And you guys bring up a good point because we're talking about 10 wins here. You can ask Denver Bronco fans. I remember a while back, the Broncos, 11-5, did not make the playoffs. That's how tough it was that year.
Is that what we're seeing this year in the NFC? Can you make that comparison?
10-6, yeah, may not get in. Okay. I mean, thanks to the Seahawks and that NFC South. That NFC South division is making it all just, you know, suspect. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, you want to be the leader in your division, and the Saints right now could still be a wild card.
Yeah, and I definitely think a lot's really going to happen if Seattle Seahawks do win out, because that's going to mean a lot. So we're going to have a good, you know, 4 or 5 teams that might end up with, you know, 10 wins. So that's going to be interesting to see in NFC.
It's going to be interesting. I know in the next segment, we promised you NBA, and we will give you NBA. So any NBA listeners out there, you want to chime in, give us a take on your teams, we'll take your calls. 1-800-777-2907. 1-800-777-2907 to talk some NBA in the next segment, because there's a lot of games on tap that's happening in the NBA. We're going to cover some scores and get you going there, and definitely talk about the Lonzo Ball. Not Alonzo Ball. LeVar Ball. See, and this is why your daddy shouldn't be all up in your business, because you get blamed for what he does. Yeah, I mean, so we'll talk about LeVar Ball and the Lakers and what they have actually gave him an ultimatum as far as just toning it down because of his criticism of Luke Walton. And then there's the Charles Barkley situation there where he doesn't think LeVar Ball is a good daddy. How many millions would agree?
I definitely find myself, you know, siding, you know, a couple times with Charles Barkley on a lot of things, like Krispy Kreme donuts, for example. You know, love those. But in this situation, is this whole Ball thing is this its own monster in itself? And this is something that's new that we all really are taking in, honestly. Because think about how many dads or, you know, any kind of parent could have done this to their kids and just honestly try to make their own brand without going that same route.
And we talk about why, you know, Lonzo Ball maybe even shaved his hair, because maybe he's trying to come up with his own brand. Anyway, we'll get to it On the other side of the break, you are listening to the Sports Kings right here on SB Nation Radio.
The Sports Kings with Mean Gene and David Ramone continues now on SB Nation Radio.
Yeah, very superstitious. That might be the correct word to describe the Osweiler situation and how he got into this game tonight, because we did jinx him. We did jinx him. Folks, you're listening to the Sports Kings. Mean Gene, David Ramone here on SB Nation Radio. And how about we just go to Lucas Oil Stadium out there in Indianapolis with our main man, George Montgomery, and get an update. George?
Okay, guys. 1:19 to play, and the Broncos have finally got on the board. The Colts had led 10-0 until Brock Osweiler. He is substituting for Trevion Siemian, who was knocked out of the game, a left shoulder injury. And Osweiler has come in, and he ran 17 yards for the touchdown to cut the Colts gap to 10-7. Siemian, of course, I said it was out of the game for the Denver Broncos. Also out of the game for the Indianapolis Colts was Brandon Williams, and they carried him off on a stretcher. He is a tight end, a five-year veteran out of Oregon, but they say he is okay. Once again, 1:19 before intermission, it's the Indianapolis Colts 10, the Denver Broncos 7.
All right, thanks, George. And, of course, Brock Osweiler used his legs.
What?
His legs to get into the end zone.
He can do that?
Amazing stuff. So, very superstitious.
Right, can't believe he got that going, man.
All right. So, hey, thanks for that update once again, NFL football. And how about we segue into the association, okay? And a lot of things happening with the NBA, of course, Thursday night. A lot of you are probably listening to us and watching the TNT broadcast. As a matter of fact, we'll have a chance to catch the late game tonight on TNT, the Dallas Mavericks at the Golden State Warriors. It would be the battle of the Curry brothers.
or it would have been.
Or would have been. Yeah, it should have been anyway. So one Curry will be playing tonight.
No, just none, actually.
None?
Both
neither one?
Both are out, yeah.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Well, why are we watching this game tonight, then?
I mean, I guess just to see the Warriors beat up on the Mavericks. I mean, Dennis Smith is really good, I mean, for the Mavericks. So I think Dallas has a really good young team. I mean, Harrison Barnes will be back, you know, at Golden State, which is always good to whenever an ex-champion comes right back, you know, to his old home. So I guess that's something to look forward to. But, you know, it's going to be a toss-up.
Yeah, I mean, is it? Is,
it's not going to be opposite. A game that's going on right now, though.
Well, but it's opposite of this football game. So we got two teams with losing record. Well, this is going to be different because the Dallas Mavericks are almost a league worse, 8-20, in the Western Conference, and they're going up against the Golden State Warriors, who have the second best record in the NBA at 22-6.
So I mean, yeah, we can already kind of, you know, imagine how that's going to go. But as of right now, the Lakers and Cavaliers, 75-80. I mean, this is kind of a little too close, right?
Yeah, because I tell you what, the Lakers have really played some great ball on this road trip. I mean, this is a young team still and still trying to find themselves. And even though other teams in the West have gotten better, so I'm not really sure what Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson have in store for the Lakers as far as the future goes. But for right now, I mean, if you like watching good young talent, good basketball, I mean, you know, this Kyle Kuzma guy with the Lakers is remarkable. And he was the one that came over in that trade from Brooklyn.
I mean, and you know what? Kyle Kuzma has been, you know, doing very well for a rookie. But also, we kind of forget that Brandon Ingram's over there. And as of right now, he has 23 points. And to me, I kind of already knew that he was going to be the primary scorer. But maybe he wasn't really so used to maybe hearing that, especially so fast and so young in his career. But as of right now, I think he has the ultimate green light with this team. Because like I said, he has 23 points as of right now. And I mean, when you look at him, he's almost that player that you want, a good length and able to shoot the ball, come off the dribble. I mean, he does everything you want, especially on the defensive side too. But for the Cavaliers to be in this situation, I mean, LeBron James and Kevin Love are in double digits right now. But, I mean, you kind of expect them to kind of, you know, put in more. But we still got a whole quarter left. And that's the thing about NBA, too, as well.
That's true. I mean, come on. I mean, Cleveland's at home. So I would expect that, you know, they're going to play well. That no doubt. But here's the thing, though. You talk about, you know, Ingram. I mean, you know, when this guy came out of Duke and stuff, you just look at the NBA player today, just doesn't look like they're all that, you know, athletic and talented. This guy got some game. He's got an awkward build. His arms are
really skinny. Kind of, but
kind of reminds me of like a Tayshaun Prince, but a little bit taller.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, yeah, but you know, he's getting it done. And like I said, the Lakers are exciting to watch. The Lakers are not getting better, of course, than your top echelon teams. You know, the Houston Rockets, the Golden State Warriors. But believe it or not, though, they are almost getting better than they cross town rivalry in the Clippers. I mean, they are
game. That's a ship that sailed, Gene, definitely for the
year. They are one game behind the Clippers now. So, I mean, the Clippers have ruled L.A. for the last couple of years. For some reason, Doc Rivers have almost gotten rid of every player out there. I mean, and now the Clippers are who we thought they were.
I really feel for Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, too, because, I mean, that's a really good 1-2 punch.
How are they going to score?
But exactly.
Who's
so
giving
now,
them the ball?
And Patrick Beverley, you know, still, you know, hurt. And, you know, so I definitely like Montrezl Harrell, you know, has been doing very well, too. But, I mean, we're getting all this offensive productivity from the post. And, you know, especially with nowadays NBA, for example, you mentioned the Houston Rockets. Mm-hmm. They shooting lights out from the three, but not just because they're shooting a three. They're just putting those numbers up. And, I mean, the mad genius Daryl Morey, whenever he first really implemented this system, mm-hmm. I think a lot of basketball purists were kind of just against it just because it's not the, you know, productivity basketball game that we'll have. You know, if you're working with the numbers and you're kind of really taken away from the game. But, mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that's really crept in. But, honestly, you plug in the right players and with the right coach, this is what you're going to get.
I tell you what, and on previous shows on other networks, we have actually talked about Mike D'Antoni. And, I mean, this guy right here is certainly not taking anything for granted. He knows that you can be the coach of the year 1 year and fired the next, the next season. And this is exciting. I mean, if you are a Houston Rockets fan, you have to be excited about what this basketball team is doing. And certainly, I mean, in the city, coming off a Houston Astros World Series win.
Yeah, the winning has definitely carried on.
Certainly, yeah. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, you're coming off a crazy hurricane, and then you're coming off, you know, a team that kind of rallied around everything, and now you're going into the NBA season with a team that has won 11 straight games and with a 22-4 record. Amazing.
And you know what, Gene? I don't really call this situation weird. If anything, I call this mathematically possible. And all this is kind of just falling into shape because a lot of people were talking about Chris Paul whenever he first came in and, you know, whenever he was, you know, came into the Rockets organization. They're trying to see, you know, how was him and James really going to, you know, get put together and how was that going to really coexist? But now whenever we get this healthy Chris Paul, I mean, the first game, you know, he was kind of a little relaxed a little bit. We didn't get too much of it, but now you're starting to see him hit his stride. Like, for example, he made Ryan Anderson a whole better player. Like, yes. I want to say before yesterday's game, he was shooting like maybe 70% when the passes come from Chris Paul.
Why did you think the other day when we were at Kings Court and I asked you, should I get Ryan Anderson in my DraftKings lineup? Because I knew what was getting ready to happen.
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, here's a guy that could probably get on a hot night. He can get you 20 or 30 if he's shooting lights out. But you saw what Chris Paul did for DeAndre Jordan in L.A.
And also, speaking of the big man, Clint Capela, I believe he leads the league in dunks as of right now. So the fact that he's getting to the basket so much, and that it's not just Chris Paul either. Of course, it's James Harden that's really feeding him all those alley-oops. But the fact that we're hitting on all cylinders in different positions, like the Rockets is really doing something different. And I think if you're a really avid basketball fan, this is definitely a team to definitely watch because not only they're making it more exciting because they can possibly knock off Golden State, but also there's a whole bunch of guys on this team who are doing a lot. I mean, we still haven't even talked about PJ Tucker. Hopefully, Luka Mbamute comes from the shoulder injury.
Didn't see this one coming when we were on the local Houston radio, and we you know, specifically keyed in on the Rockets.
Yeah.
And even went through that, well, if Carmelo Anthony, is he coming? Is he not coming?
Speaking of OKC, man.
And so it seemed like the best trade or best, you know, free agency that was the one that didn't happen.
Yeah, honestly. You know, because, like I said, Ryan Anderson was a really big part of possibly, you know, moving this, doing the switching mm-hmm. around because of his contract. Mm-hmm. But honestly, we lucked out by getting Chris Paul to come over here. We turned Ryan Anderson into the Ryan Anderson that we wanted the whole that the Houston Rockets wanted the whole time.
So what we see in Oklahoma City is exactly what we said. If Carmelo Anthony had went to Houston, you know the old saying, the buck stops here.
But honestly, we technically don't know what could have happened, what should have would have happened. But honestly, whenever you look at their big three, it's honestly kind of you kind of maybe try to see who to really put the blame on, because I think a lot of people are really looking at Coach Donovan first.
At
Billy Donovan.
Yeah, I mean, that's come up. And I think I heard earlier this morning on one of the shows how, you know, if Billy Donovan would be fired, probably be a tragic mistake. Someone at some point always, you know, looking for the point the finger and say, hey, it's your fault. I thought that the guy who was there before, you know, when they had Durant, when they had Harden and Westbrook, I can't think of his name, the guard, that Scottie Brooks.
Yeah, Scottie Brooks.
Scottie Brooks never should have been fired.
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Because Oklahoma City would have won a championship already had those three-headed monster stayed together. I mean, we know why, a lot to do with egos, and maybe Scottie Brooks just couldn't manage all of that. But looking at this now, you know, one reason why this team is 13-14, we're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, is that Russell Westbrook, his game is not the same as last year. He realized he has Paul George and Carmelo Anthony now. He's not trying to, he just had his ninth triple-double. I think by this time last year, he probably had how many triple-doubles by this time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But you know what? The unsung hero to me in this lineup, surprisingly, is Steven Adams, because he's the guy who's really been cleaning up and actually, you know, putting over, you know, 20-point games whenever all these other guys really ain't. So the fact that someone like him is putting up, you know, he's kind of picking up the slack for Carmelo and everybody else.
Because he's an underrated player. And
people, he does a lot of dirty work.
He does the dirty work. A lot of his stuff is just garbage.
And
right,
honestly,
underneath the basket.
I definitely think Paul George will come along eventually, because that game yesterday in Indiana, a lot of misses. He wasn't really taking the best shots. And honestly, you would kind of think that he would have wanted to show out a little bit, because Victor Oladipo over there, and of course they love him there. He's an Indiana guy. So the fact they got someone from the crib to be, you know, at the helm over there, they're really loving it.
I mean, look at this right now. If the NBA season was to stop right now and the playoffs was to start tomorrow, the Thunder is the 8th seed. Right now,
the scariest, and you know what,
13-14, and would play the Houston Rockets.
I definitely
see the first round
lingering in that area, maybe from anywhere from 6 to 8, and maybe they get hot and probably, you know, break the top four, you know, eventually. But they're going to be a really scary team, no matter
what.
That's
what I'm saying. So when you look at it in the playoff perspective, you'd be looking at, you know, the Rockets up against the Carmelo Anthonys, and by then, if this thing stays where it is, that team is going to be a whole lot better. It's a different team to face.
And also, we haven't really touched up on the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, Kawhi Leonard comes back. And also, you gotta look at Chris's Minnesota Timberwolves over there, too, because
don't listen, I'm from Minnesota. Don't ever give teams from Minnesota expectations, because that never ends well.
That maybe you're not really agreeing with the whole Tibbs experience, or maybe the Timberwolves.
You know, here's the thing about that is you can go back in Minnesota history, we're so used to things not working out. I mean, Tubby Smith was supposed to be the savior for the University of Minnesota. That didn't end up. I like what Thibodeau brings in terms of the history and the reputation. But the issue that I got right now with the Timberwolves quick is the fact that you got players complaining, well, we're playing too much. You know what Tom Thibodeau does. He's going to play his starters 40 minutes. And especially a guy like Jimmy Butler or Taj Gibson. Maybe I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but did they not play for Thibodeau in Chicago, or am I missing something? It's like, dude, just quiet, play your basketball. For all the money that you're making, you know what you got into. I think they're going to be fine down the road. It's still a team that's trying to figure things out, but that is a loaded, loaded Western Conference. You guys mentioned the Rockets.
Yeah.
The 11 in a row, 12-0 with Chris Paul. Chris Paul has not lost a game in a Rockets uniform yet.
Never lost.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just amazing stuff here.
But you know what? That Timberwolves team, especially on defense, they're looking like a whole different monster. So pretty soon, once they, you know, get into the playoffs and maybe they play a Rockets or a Golden State team, it's going to be a whole different series whenever they get to rolling.
I'll tell you what, folks, we'll continue with some NBA right here on the Sports Kings. Mean Gene, David Ramone, right here on SB Nation Radio.
The Sports Kings with Mean Gene and David Ramone continues now on SB Nation Radio.
All right, folks, Sports Kings back here, SB Nation Radio. First show almost under the wraps here on this Thursday night. Just to give you some quick NBA updates, looked like the Pistons took care of the Hawks 105-91. End of the third quarter in Cleveland, the Lakers are hanging around. It's 94-86 Cleveland. Also, the Brooklyn Nets were losers to the New York Knicks, 111-104. And another game that looks like it is a blowout, and I think Chris should like this. It is the Timberwolves all over the Sacramento Queens. I'm sorry, Kings, 97-76.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's the Kings. It's the Kings.
Late game tonight on TNT, and me and David, we're going to probably watch this one. It's going to be the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Golden State Warriors right there at the Oracle, which is out there in Oakland, California.
Does Mark Cuban make that trip?
He probably does. He sits right there with his team and bugs the hell out of them the whole game, win, lose, or draw, whatever the case is. So, hey, we want to thank Patrick Crade for coming on, joining us, and talking a little NFL football. And, of course, we also want to thank a man out there in Indianapolis. By the way, it's halftime. 10-7, the Colts over the Broncos. And we want to thank our man Tubbs here. We'll see you back next week here on the Sports Kings right here on SB Nation Radio.
Sensationelle Tagesangebote jetzt bei Galeria Kaufhof.
Nur heute Pfannenset von WMF statt 74,85 nur 39 Euro.
Und morgen zum Sensationspreis Emporio Armani Düfte. Galeria Kaufhof.